This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
I'm getting a little tired of Republicans. We'll talk about that tonight. We'll talk to Blake Masters. Hopefully he can help change that. Talk culture, war stuff, all that's coming up tonight on I'm Right.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
You play to win the game. You know, that's a classic line from the great Herm Edwards, former NFL coach. I don't know, I don't watch the NFL anymore. Maybe he's a current NFL coach for all I know, but that's a great line, isn't it? Now let's talk about our team. We talk a ton about their team. We talk a ton about the communists, and I know you're an anti-communist. We talk about what they're doing and what their plans are and why they're doing it and what they're going to do next, and we talk about that. Let's have a talk about our team. Are we playing to win? Do you see the GOP trying to win? I mean, my goodness, maybe that's too far. Do you even see the GOP trying not to lose? I don't. What's the talk of the day? It's kind of a slow news cycle right now, so everyone's kind of grasping at something. What's the new latest and greatest or worst? What's the new horrible thing everyone's talking about today that the communists have said? Well, this dirtball Daniel Goldman in Congress today said all this ridiculousness.
You have no idea. You know hard drives can be manipulated.
Are you suggesting the New York Post participated in a conspiracy to construct the contents of the Hunter Biden laptop?
No, sir. The problem is that hard drives can be manipulated by Rudy Giuliani or Russia.
Well, what's the evidence that that happened?
Well, there is actual evidence of it, but the point is it's not the same.
There's no evidence for it, so you're engaging in a conspiracy.
I'm glad.
Okay. Everyone's making fun of Daniel Goldman today for sounding like a ridiculous clown. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Daniel Goldman sounds like a ridiculous clown. I know that. He is a ridiculous clown. He's a communist. He's an apparatchik. He's trying to maintain his system membership card by being a good little soldier. And if he continues doing that, he'll be a success no matter what happens. Even if he loses his seat in office, he'll walk right into this great job or that great job because he's maintaining his system membership card. Okay, we all got it. He's a clown. He's getting his system membership card. We got it. But Daniel Goldman, what's he faced with right now? What's all this line of questioning about? The line of questioning is about Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's laptop. The laptop that has been authenticated several times over. The laptop that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Hunter Biden is a criminal and so is his father. We know that. This is not my opinion. It's not a left or right opinion thing. We know it. It's all written down, especially because Hunter Biden has documented all of his crimes. Okay, so we know that. And Daniel Goldman has been shown that. Hey, Daniel Goldman, what do you have to say about the laptop? Look at this. Joe's a criminal. What do you have to say? Daniel Goldman, he's not bothered by it, and he certainly doesn't start playing defense by it. Daniel Goldman doesn't miss a breath. Do you know why? Do you know why? And it's not just because he's a lying piece of trash, which he is, but do you know why? Daniel Goldman, he's playing to win the game. Daniel Goldman, when he wakes up and puts on his communist granny panties and his communist socks and he goes into his communist office, every single day, when he wakes up, when he goes to sleep, Daniel Goldman intends to win. He has been on a mission to destroy this country for years. I don't know when that got ingrained in him, but for years he's been on a mission to destroy this country, and Daniel Goldman intends to win. That's his intention. Now contrast that with, well, the GOP.
President Biden has, of course, lied at least 16 times about his involvement in his family's business schemes. There are at least 22 examples of Joe Biden speaking with or meeting with Hunter Biden's foreign business associates. The Oversight Committee recently released two checks. You see the graphics up here today. These checks are to Joe Biden. One is for $40,000 from China, and another is for $200,000 from a now bankrupt healthcare company that his brother James Biden apparently swindled. Listen, this investigation has to continue.
Investigation's going to continue, you see. It is. Hold on. Maybe that can't be right. That said it was November 30th. Man, my phone backed it up. My watch and my phone just told me it was November 30th, 2023. Joe Biden, the criminal, which we know he's a criminal, has been sitting in the White House destroying this country for 3 years now. The GOP, don't get me wrong, we've got the checks, but we got to continue investigating. Always the investigating, always the whining. Where's the impeachment? Do you remember back when Donald Trump was president? Donald Trump was impeached not once, but twice, off of nothing. Now, why? Before you start blasting away at Democrats, just stop, set that aside for a moment. Why was Donald Trump impeached twice over nothing? Why? Because Democrats play to win the game. Democrats don't sit around like Republicans do. I mean, oh my gosh, I don't know, guys. We got to investigate some more. We got some checks. Do we have enough checks? I don't know. Have you checked the poll numbers? What about the midterms? I don't know about that. You never, ever, 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 ever see this from the communist, because the communist wakes and the communist sleeps thinking about winning the game. The Republican wakes and the Republican sleeps trying to, I don't know, look good. I don't not get yelled at too much. Well, we got to make sure we're doing things the right way, guys. Republicans are currently working with Democrats to oust George Santos. Now, I don't care about George Santos, the Republican out of New York. Who knows? I don't know. Guilty, not guilty. I don't know. I don't really give a crap. But George Santos is likely going to be expelled from Congress before Joe Biden or Mayorkas or any of them are impeached. What does that tell you? I'll tell you what it tells me. Only one party is playing to win the game. Speaking of Trump, do you remember back to 15 days to slow the spread, and then Fauci, of course, bumped that number? Do you remember this?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at what's in those 30-day recommendations of the guidelines, that's essentially what it is. I mean, I know it's difficult, but we're having a lot of suffering, a lot of death. This is inconvenient from an economic and a personal standpoint, but we just have to do it. That is our major weapon against this virus right now. Yeah. We don't have a vaccine that's deployable. This is the only thing we have, and we can get through it if everybody really leans forward and pushes on this.
Oh, it's inconvenient economically. Inconvenient. Yeah. I'm still staring at a stack of emails you've sent into my show about stories of your mother dying alone. Your business, your family business going away forever. Inconvenient. And what were the Republicans doing? Not just Trump, he's included for sure. The Republicans, Donald Trump, the Republicans in the Senate, the Republicans in the House, while the American people were suffering under communism, suffering under communist tyranny, ushered in, of course, by a virus. What were they all doing? Hiding, wringing their hands. Well, I mean, I guess we do have to be safe, guys. Why? Because the communists saw coronavirus and he saw an opportunity to win. He saw an opportunity to destroy the country he hates more than anything else. What did Republicans see? All of them. Trump, senators, Congress, what did all of them see? Well, I don't know. Did you see the latest poll numbers? I mean, the poll numbers are saying the American, I don't know what about whether we should poll test this, guys. We got to be safe, guys. We got one side plays to win, and I'm sick to freaking death of it. I'm sick to death of the pathetic weakness on the right. I'm tired of it. I'm not even going to get into what happened in the Senate today. Dick Durbin today in the Senate got up and did something, it doesn't matter to you, changed the rules in the Senate Judiciary Committee. And then every Republican senator, every single freaking one of them, came out today whining all day long. I can't believe what the Democrats just did. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. Oh guys, this is crazy. Look at what the Democrats just did. Go do it back, you gigantic sissy. What have you done back to them? Yes, they're horrific. Yes, they're communists. At least they play to win. Why did they do it? Because they are trying to win. Why are you whining about it all the time instead of hitting back hard? You don't even have the balls to impeach Joe Biden. Pathetic. The GOP, all of them are pathetic to me. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a great show for you here tonight. We'll talk to Blake Masters about the pathetic GOP next. Before we get to that, let's do this. This is why I call them the low-T GOP. This is why I've half-joked a million times over that the entire Republican Party apparatus, top to bottom, needs to be forcibly put on a male vitality stack program from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements. We're not putting any harmful big pharma crap in their bodies, but my goodness, 20% increase in their testosterone in 90 days. We need them on this thing for about 25 years, and maybe they'll get up and stand for something. Go to Chalk, Republicans, and normal people too. We all need it. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. And everything's on sale right now because it's the holiday season. You have to use the code JesseTV, though. CHOQ.com, promo code JesseTV. We'll be back.
College kids today really seem to hate Jews and support literal Islamic terrorists. It's disgusting. A lot of you are wondering, how could this possibly happen? You think it might have something to do with the decades of left-wing indoctrination that we've just let fester in our schools? Normal people understand that the Israelis getting attacked here, they're the good guys. The jihadis doing the attacking, they're the bad guys. I'm Blake Masters. I'm running for Congress here in Arizona's 8th District. And I approve this message because we're going to defund the schools that teach anti-Jewish, pro-jihadi bullshit.
Joining me now, Blake Masters, running for Congress in Arizona's Congressional District 8. Okay, Blake, these schools, long before there were pro-Hamas protests, there were feminist protests, pro-George Floyd protests. It's well beyond Hamas and Jews and Israel. We have a bunch of vile, violent communist scum on our college campuses, and no one seems to want to address the fact.
Oh, it's absolutely crazy. And you're right. This isn't a problem in the last couple of weeks or months. This is a problem that is decades in the making. Most of these schools, of course, take federal funds. And so you, me, we the people, taxpayers are funding this anti-American crap, right? It's just, it's Bolshevist. And the left knows, you got to give them credit. Their agenda is evil, but they know that if they can control the minds of young people, right, they just hatch a whole new generation of communists. Give it 15, 20 years. Now those kids are teaching college. Now those kids are in Congress. Now those kids are, God forbid, the President of the United States. And so this is the left-wing plan. It's to subvert everything that we'd love about this country by creating a whole new generation of communists. And now you see these idiot kids love Palestinian Hamas terrorism. I think it's just really disgusting. And we got to see if it's too late to fix, but we got to call it out and start fighting back yesterday.
I love that you focus on education, Blake, because really, as you just pointed out, everything comes back to that. And we complain about corporate America now being trash and the Senate's trash and the FBI's trash. And of course, all those things are true. But all those people learned that America hatred in America's schools. How in the world did we allow these people to take over our schools? What were we doing while the communists took over our schools in this country?
You know, I think a lot of parents, God bless them, people are working really hard. You have to work even harder, right, just to stay in the same place in this horrible Biden economy. But a lot of parents, you know, they want to believe that, schools are bad generally, but Jesse, your kid's school is fine. My kid's school is fine. Don't worry about it. Unfortunately, no, that's in your kid's school too. That toxic left-wing BS. And it doesn't matter whether it's a public school or private school. You know, you go to Phoenix Country Day School, people are paying $28,000 a year in tuition or whatever. And that curriculum might actually be more communist than what you'll find at the local public school. I remember in fourth grade, my parents had to go and protest because my fourth grade teacher was teaching us that Columbus, Christopher Columbus, was a colonizer. He was a murderer. He was a bad guy. We didn't learn about how he was a hero, how he discovered this country, the kind of risks that people, that men used to take, you know, in the ancient world. And I, you know, absent parental involvement, I'm not sure you can fix it. Now, I think people are waking up. Right. I really hope that the mama bears, right, people are realizing that their kids are being poisoned intellectually in the schools. And so if you get enough parents to wake up and take back the school boards and just say no, maybe it's not too late to fix.
Blake, I'm glad you're running again, obviously pulling for you the same way we did last time. Why didn't the National Republican Party step in and help last time? In fact, they made an announcement they were not going to help. What happened there?
Yeah, and specifically Mitch McConnell, right? Look, I think he decided that he thought I was too conservative, too right-wing, and too independent-minded to be in the Senate. He didn't want to deal with me. I think he would literally rather be, you know, chief of his little fiefdom. He'd rather be the leader of the minority than be in the majority and have to deal with U.S. senators like me. So he got his wish that time. This time, the good news is he doesn't matter. Right. I'm in a right-wing primary. We're going to win. And I'm going to do all that one person can in Congress to really help start to right this ship. We have an establishment problem. And I think the establishment wants to go along to get along. They lose to the left over time. I'm mad as hell. I'm sick of that. And so it's America first through and through.
Let's discuss the border, shall we? Here was Alejandro Mayorkas discussing his plans for the 30 million illegals he's allowed to flood this country with.
The answer is quite clear and quite straightforward, and we've been waiting for it for about 30 years. And that is to fix a system that everyone agrees is fundamentally broken, and we need congressional action, both for the lawful pathways that really need to be more robust in statute, and for the 12 million people who are here in the United States who have been contributing so fundamentally to our country's well-being.
Blake, why is it the Democrats love illegal immigrants so much? What is it about them that they just crave, especially as they ignore normal Americans?
I think Mayorkas likes the chaos that he's wrought at our border. I think they're fundamentally trying to destabilize the country. I do think they're fundamentally trying to change the demographic makeup of the country. They want to flood America with people from the third world, right? This is not people who are hardworking from Mexico who are just trying to get construction jobs. And no, that was 25 years ago, right? Now you've got Uzbekistani cab drivers coming here with no skills, except, you know, maybe they really hate Jews and they don't want to assimilate, right? This is people from Uganda. This is people from Yemen, right? And this is Hamas terror cells coming in. Not everybody, obviously, but like tens of thousands of terrorists have just been welcomed in by Joe Biden. And unfortunately, all the carnage that we saw Hamas commit on October 7th in Israel, I fear that that's the trailer for the movie that's coming to the United States. So I think for the left, it's about importing a new electorate. It's about destabilizing American society as we know it. And Mayorkas is lying when he says 12 million Americans. No, this is like 20 or 30 million illegals in this country, at least. They know that you don't have a country if you don't have a secure border. And I think they're literally trying to destroy this country with their border policies.
I think they are too. Blake, what's your website, brother?
BlakeMasters.com.
BlakeMasters.com. Anyone can remember that. Blake, go get them. I hope you win. All right. We have a bunch more to get to. We have to talk about culture war stuff, our institutions, our military institutions. We have to talk about me. That's for lighting the mood. Stop. We'll get to that in a little bit. Before we do that, let's do this. The same people who opened up the border are the people who are in charge of the monetary system. I don't know. How do you think it's going to go financially around here? You already know. Look, Republicans, as we speak, aren't even proposing spending cuts. Just process that for a moment. As you watch the value of your dollar go down every time you go into the grocery store, there's not even a single party proposing stopping the spending, stopping the printing. I don't know. Do you think maybe you should make some preparations? Get some gold in your hands. with some silver in your hands. Prepare as if they're assaulting your dollar, because they are, and they're not going to stop, all right? Oxford Gold Group makes this easy because they deliver it to you. They deliver it to your front door anonymously, fully insured. You don't need a bank vault. We're not talking gold bars here, just coins. This is for normal people. Get a hold of Oxford Gold Group. Make sure you're protecting yourself, okay? Oxford Gold Group. JesseKellyGold.com is where you go do that. JesseKellyGold.com. All right? We'll be back.
We've got to emphasize positive command climates and inclusion. You know, we get criticized, frankly, sometimes for being woke. I'm not sure what woke means. I think woke means a lot of different things to different people. But I think, you know, we do have a wide range of soldiers in our Army, and we've got to make them all feel included. And that's why a lot of our diversity, equity, and inclusion programs are important.
Gotta make them all feel included. Man alive, I'm only 42, but I feel old. I do not remember that being the goal when I was in the Marines. I do not remember the goal of the command making me feel included. Maybe it was different for Chase. Joining me now, former Army Major Chase Spears. Chase, do you remember in your time in the service, was the goal to make you feel included?
Hey, Justin, thanks for having me. We talk about building a team in the military, and of course we want people to feel like they can be a member of a team, a member of something that is greater than themselves, the defense of the nation. But specifically, it's really a very recent thing that I heard. Well, we just want everyone to feel included. That's not really the language that I came up with.
Yeah. You have a piece out in the Epoch Times that the Army knows exactly what woke means. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so absolutely. When I heard the secretary say that I don't know what woke means, I was really kind of flabbergasted. Someone in her position, of her education, of her knowledge, would absolutely most certainly know what this is about. The fact of the matter is the Army in recent years has taken on a much more socially progressive tone. And that kind of follows the way the administration has gone. It follows a lot of the ways the culture has gone. But what has always separated the Army is that the Army stood apart from that. The military stood apart from that. And they said, we're not going to be a part of these matters. At the end of the day, we're about taking care of the nation. We are about national security. And anything that adds to that, we're going to be about. Anything that takes away from that, we're going to eschew. And it seems like the table has absolutely turned. And now we have an Army that, while it claims not knowing what woke is, it's really embraced everything that woke is about. And that's been to our national detriment.
We saw the latest numbers that 72% of Americans would not be willing to fight for this country if it got into a major conflict. Only 21% would. I obviously have many sources in the military, and they don't appear at all to be willing to tackle the true root cause of this recruiting crisis. Are they willing to actually tackle any of this?
Sadly, Jesse, I think the current leadership just is not interested in getting after what it would take to turn this around, because it is these ideologies that are there in state. They are there to kind of drag the military along with the way the administration wants to go. And so this is really kind of their ultimate goal, their ultimate dream. Why would they want to interfere with that? At the end of the day, when they leave office, when the Secretary of Defense leaves office, when the Secretary of the Army leaves office, they won't be held accountable. They'll go on. They'll have other jobs. They'll be on boards. They'll be well paid. What happens to the military will no longer be their concern. And it's really unfortunate to watch that happen, because in my career, the way I felt was anytime that I take on an assignment, I want to leave it better than I found it. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. But that was always my goal, is I want to leave it better than I found it, because I feel an ownership stake in this. And sadly, I don't think that the top service officials really kind of feel that same way. This is one part of their career, and they'll move on. And they're, through them, they're allowing kind of the progressive march through the institutions to really kind of solidify its final ground in the military. And that should alarm every American.
Why'd you get out so early? Were you always planning on making it a short thing? Did you want to do 30? What happened?
So when I initially enlisted, I planned on doing 1 4-year enlistment. Shortly after I started, my brigade commander made it very clear he wanted me to go to officer candidate school. So I did. Commissioned, spent the majority of my career as an officer. My wife and I loved the Army. We loved the Army life. I loved being a paratrooper. I wanted to do it for 30 years. When I was at the Command and General Staff College, I was already dreaming of fellowships at the War College level. And I loved what I did. I loved being a soldier. I loved telling the Army story to people. I loved doing interviews like this where I was praising the Army. But about the last 3 years, I just saw the way the institution was going. And it became increasingly apparent to me, I can't be a spokesman for an agency that is calling someone like me an extremist, because I believe in the good of the institution, and I truly believe in the values that the institution says it's about. So I went ahead and concluded my career right at the 20-year mark. I retired as a major. I was on the promotion list for lieutenant colonel and turned that down because my family and I decided it's better to walk away than to try to stay in.
Yeah. Somebody who's probably about to get the old heave-ho is a Mr. Ted Macy. He put out this little video talking about the increase in conditions of service members.
Reinstatement, back pay, and apologies isn't enough. So in July, Undersecretary Cisneros acknowledged the DMET data, the database working properly, and also acknowledged things such as myocarditis rising 151%. So what I did, I went in today, I'm doing the same thing, 5-year average. However, I'm comparing it to 2022, and I only am using fixed wing pilots and helicopter pilots, active duty. So we get hypertensive disease, 36%, ischemic heart disease, 69%. Pulmonary heart disease, 62%. Heart failure, 973%. Other forms of heart disease, 63%. Cardiomyopathy, 152%.
That is not just staggering, that's sad beyond belief, Chase, to know all these service members were forced into taking something and now they're suffering conditions that will last them the rest of their life.
It absolutely is. I applaud Ted for what he's doing, for getting the message out there. I'm reminded back earlier in my career, the Army had a spike in suicides. We've had many spikes since then. We have another one now. But it was the first spike, I believe it was around 2008, 2009. And the Army did a force-wide stand down where everyone had to get training on how to prevent. It was very well done. The Army took it seriously. And now, all these years later, we have a clear problem with people who have received this shot having major health issues that are going to complicate, if not absolutely derail, their ability to conduct their mission as armed service members in the defense of the nation. You'd think that would be worth a stand down. You'd think that would be worth an acknowledgement and looking into. Sadly, under the current Defense Department leadership, the only thing that warrants a stand down is to call us all extremists. And I really, as a citizen of the nation, as a stakeholder in the military institution, as one who gave a lot of my life to it and loves it, I'm deeply concerned about where it's headed and the health impacts that we're going to see in the years to come. I think what Ted talks about is going to sadly be the tip of the iceberg, but I pray that I'm wrong on that.
How do we fix it, Chase? I want to fix it. How do we fix it?
We have to fix it by holding leadership accountable. And I know you've heard that before. I know a lot of people have heard that before. But at the end of the day, people have to actually take a personal investment in their military. The military in the last 20 years has kind of been able to get away from a lot of congressional oversight. You know, there's a lot of rubber stamping on the National Defense Authorization Act. There's a lot of deference to the uniform. When you see these general officers called before the House and Senate Armed Services Committees, there's a lot of deference to them because of their ribbons and their accoutrements. And that's all good and fine. We want to respect people, right? but we have to hold the institution accountable. It's like any other cabinet agency. It does what it can get away with. And the people of this nation have let it get away with a lot of stuff for the last few years that is clearly wrong. And COVID was just kind of the fruition of that, the culmination of that. My battle cry is I keep telling people, you've got to talk to your congressman about military matters. You need to plug in. You need to be aware of what's happening. This is a huge institution within this nation. It takes up a $700 billion budget every year. I mean, it's massive, the things that this institution does. And people are completely unaware of it because we hide behind our base walls and we have a lot of deference to the uniform. And I respect the uniform. It's worthy of respect. But people have to take the blinders off and actually start holding military leaders accountable.
Yeah. Chase, thank you, my man. I appreciate it. All right. Let's talk about some culture war stuff, shall we? Before we do that, let's talk about taking care of our dogs. You know, I read an article yesterday. I think it was in the New York Times. They're trying to come up with a drug that'll help our dogs live longer. A drug. Of course, America would try to come up with some sort of a drug instead of just nutrition. Our dogs die too early. Yes, I'm glad people are realizing this. It's not because they're lacking drugs. It's because they're lacking nutrition. Your dog does not get nutrition from dog food. Dog food is dead. It's brown because it's dead. They kill everything in dog food at the factory. It's just empty calories. You essentially give your dog a double cheeseburger every meal from fast food. Nothing in it. Poor rough greens on the food. Vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, probiotics. You don't have to take my word for it. You'll see a difference in your dog. His coat, his energy, his breath, his general health. You'll be at the vet a lot less. Your dog will live longer the same way you will if you get real nutrition. They're so confident in it, they give out free bags, free Jumpstart trial bags. You just have to call them. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right? We'll be back.
Apology tour, if you will. This had been said online. There was all of the criticism. There was advertisers leaving. We talked to Bob Iger today.
I hope
today.
They stop.
You hope?
Don't advertise.
You don't want them to advertise?
No.
What do you mean?
If somebody's going to try to blackmail me with advertising, blackmail me with money, go f*** yourself.
We had Robert Kennedy Jr. on, and we had a company call, or a couple companies call after that, and say, yeah, just stuff about them. We're not advertising on this episode. My advertiser's like, you guys need to take the episode down. Oh, Peloton was the, we just got an update.
It was Peloton?
Was the band, was the people who wanted an ad out. Peloton.
Do we have Pelotons in the gym? Are those Peloton? Asports? No, there's bikes next to it. Asports? Yeah. We're getting rid of them.
What's going on? Are there little tiny parts of the corporate world actually growing a pair? Let's ask Emily about it. Joining me now, Emily Jashinsky, culture editor of The Great Federalist. Emily, look, I know it's two guys, right? But that's two more than I can remember we had about 35 seconds ago in this country. I'll take it.
No, 100%. And actually, the Elon Musk case study is a really interesting one because he's an example of how with your own money, if you have somebody who's kind of woke-proof in the sense that he says, listen, go away, advertisers. I don't want you. He can do that because he's one of the very few billionaires that actually has sane opinions on all of this stuff. And that, I think, is really the key to the future. Somebody like Dana White, again, kind of woke-proof in the sense that, A, most of their audience probably likes what Elon Musk and Dana White are saying a whole lot more than what the average woke CEO is saying. On the other hand, they also have the resources. They can really put their money where their mouth is. And Elon Musk says, go away, advertisers. I'll find another way. I'll do subscriptions on X. I'll find different advertisers. But it used to really be that as soon as you saw advertisers fleeing, this is why media matters. What they've tried with Elon Musk, they had tried for years with Fox News. They tried to get people to leave Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, all of these different shows because it worked. It used to work. But when you can go to a different platform, an alternative platform, or you have a whole bunch of money, you can say no.
Emily, can you speak to Media Matters? And I know you can. For people who aren't in our industry, what is this group? What do they do? Why do they matter? Why have I ever heard of them?
Yeah, they basically launder liberal opinions under the guise of neutrality into the media. So they are a research group. They were set up actually by David Brock, who was kind of a conservative operative turned Clinton operative in the 90s, sort of weaselly type of DC operative guy, sets up Media Matters to monitor conservative media, which the left has been hysterical about since it got any power whatsoever. And they would constantly try to organize advertiser boycotts of Fox News and other conservative media, but they spend all of their time basically, presumably in a basement somewhere, binging Fox News and eating Doritos. And then they beg corporations to police speech. So they say, a soap company, whatever it is, Procter & Gamble, you have advertisers on Tucker Carlson's show. We just did this report showing that you have, you know, allowed Tucker Carlson this microphone, take your money out. And they would, you know, get people to sign letters and blah, blah, blah. And actually it worked. A lot of advertisers pulled out of Tucker's show, pulled out of Laura's show, and tried to make them less profitable. And it's basically the left begging the wealthiest people in the world to police political discourse. That's what they exist to do.
Yeah, they're big fans of mine, by the way. The feeling is mutual, Media Matters. All right. Yeah, they love me. All right, now, I want you to update everybody, because we haven't covered it on this show, on this Deadspin blackface story with the kid at a football game. Pretend like people watching have never heard of it, and they may have never heard of it. What happened?
This is one of the most amazing stories I've seen in a long time. Basically, a kid, and obviously a child, was in the stands at the last week's Chiefs game. One half of his face was painted black. One half of his face was painted red because he was at a Chiefs game and he was wearing a headdress, a Native American headdress, because he was at a Chiefs game. And so because the camera caught him with just one side of his face, and your viewers can see it there, it's actually just sort of a perfect metaphor of journalists just looking at one half of a picture and jumping to conclusions. A writer at another publication, I'm sure you love, Jesse, Deadspin, immediately wrote a piece about accusing this kid of being in blackface, said it was like if John Gruden's tweets or John Gruden's emails came to life. That's the line that he used. It turns out this kid is actually Native American himself. So after a Deadspin writer smeared him essentially as a racist, a child smeared him essentially as a racist, turns out the kid's Native American. I mean, it's just the perfect example of media jumping to narratives based on no research whatsoever and trying to foment cancel culture in a way that ruins people they don't know, they don't care about, ruins their lives just so that you can get some clicks over at Deadspin and on your Twitter page.
Emily, I'm sure we probably don't have an update on this yet, but I'm assuming they're suing Deadspin into oblivion, at least suing them for the $25 I'm sure that publication is worth.
No update on that yet. I would hope that they would, because they have the Nick Sandman example from Covington Catholic to work off of, which was essentially very, very, very similar in that you had media with a clip that was entirely misrepresentative of the situation. And journalists should know better. Journalists who are good at their job know that clips and half pictures, you only saw half of this kid's face, don't tell the full story, but jump to conclusions immediately. And Sandman, we don't know exactly what he got from CNN, but we know that it was a hell of a lot of money. So following that example, they would have a pretty good shot with this one.
Yeah, I hope so. Emily, what's going on with YouTube and COVID? Out of the judicial committee today, the reason I ask is yours truly got censored pretty hard by YouTube during COVID when they were trying to push that poison shot into everybody's veins. What's going on? How deep did the rabbit hole go?
Yeah, we're learning just truly not surprising details, but incredible details of the extent of the government's censorship operation, or the extent of their collusion with the government censorship operation. There are a lot more details, a lot more emails coming out thanks to the work of people like Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger digging through more and more files. And I think that's the key to this, is as they get access to more documents, you're seeing basically exactly what you would expect based on the work that they did with the Twitter files, which is essentially people in government colluding. You know, some of these new emails, you can see people in tech making reports, or people in the kind of nonprofit anti-speech sector making reports and copying them on emails to the government, and then the government taking action against speech that they find objectionable, which of course is the problem. When we have government deciding what is reasonable discourse on the internet in a partisan way, we know how that ends, and it ends not well. It actually ends up where the government is regularly promoting disinformation on things like COVID, from Fauci to Biden himself. All of the things they told us about the vaccines, by these standards of disinformation, are disinformation. But of course, the standards are so partisan that speech like that never would have been banned on YouTube.
Emily, I have to ask. I'm asking everybody, all my friends right now. Well, here's President Biden. I'll ask after.
Now look, my Marine carries that. It has a code to blow up the world. That doesn't. This is not nuclear weapons, is it? All right, okay.
but I am friends with your leader, Mr. Moon. We're good guys. I've said this, and I said this to Deng Xiaoping and the Himalayas. Instead of cutting them, or like Congressman Trump and Bob want to do.
Deng Xiaoping. Joe Biden's not going to be on the ballot, right?
I mean, based on that, it's amazing. Even if you go back and look at him in 2020, when he was campaigning from his basement, he was bad. But this is, when you go back and look at that, it makes him look like a spry young adult compared to just these last 3 years, how far this has gotten. Everybody knows it. Everybody can see it. That's why 70% of Democrats want another option on the presidential ticket, because it is so embarrassing as a country. It is uncomfortable as an American. It's uncomfortable for anybody to watch. And the nuclear code clip you just played is especially terrifying, I think, to average Americans, to hear him bumbling through a sentence about the nuclear codes, because it just reminds you he has access to them and full reign of them. Essentially, he can do whatever he wants, and that's terrifying and should be.
Oh, what a world. Emily, thank you. Appreciate you very much. Ah. All right. We have a light in the mood next, a very special light in the mood. Before we get to that, let's do this. Let's talk about dogs and ones that are left behind. I'll admit, I'm not some animal rights person. I'm just not that way. I'm not a big softy, but dogs being abandoned by their owners is the saddest thing in the world to me. Just the dog loves you no matter what. It's the most loyal creature. And people leave these dogs on the side of the road. They leave them in houses. They leave them in backyards. They leave them in apartments. What happens to the dog? Well, the dog dies. A shelter usually takes a dog in, but shelters only have so much room. After so long, they'll kill the dog. Not Delta Rescue. Delta Rescue is the world's largest no-kill, care-for-life animal shelter. If Delta Rescue takes in that puppy, that dog gets to live a happy, healthy life for the rest of its life. They only do this with the support you give them, though. Go to deltarescue.org and support them in any way you can, all right? deltarescue.org. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And before we get to that lighten the mood, let's do this. Maybe you're wondering, hey, well, I don't have anything to listen to. Jesse, I don't have anything to listen to. Well, you know that at thefirsttv.com/podcast, it's all the podcasts there. From Slater to Mike, it's all right there. Go. There's your one-stop shop. There's everything you need to listen to, all right? Thefirsttv.com/podcast. Before we do anything else, though, let's honor me. You see, it's the year end, and Spotify does this thing where they put out, they let people know how many minutes they listen to what and who's number one on people's lists. And it's no surprise that I'm number one on pretty much everyone's list. Thomas Evans listened for over 24,000 minutes. Sarah Freeman, 6,500. Another one, 15,000. Another one said, I enjoyed every one of the 5,973 minutes. Thank you. But listen, all I have to say to all of you is, from the bottom of my heart, you're welcome. All right? I'll see you tomorrow. We'll be right back.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.